Hey there, this is Emily Hoover, and we are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
My name is Kondo. I get to serve as one of the pastors here at Mission Point. And man, I'm so thankful for the moments we get to have in these outdoor services that we may have once or twice a year. And there are a number of reasons for that. Let me give them to you. Reason number one, I love these gatherings is because it gives us this unique opportunity to all be together in one place. And that is so fun for those of you who maybe attend the first service to look and see somebody from the second service and to be like, I have never laid eyes on you before, which is part of the beauty of this because we're all part of the same church family. For those of you who maybe sit in the back to behold somebody who sits in the balcony and you are thinking to yourself like, there's a balcony? Yeah, there's actually a balcony upstairs. And so it's so, so great to be together in one place. I also love the opportunity we have when we gather like this because we usually take the chance to hear from each other. We take the chance to hear what God is doing in the lives of some of our church family. How is Jesus speaking? What's he calling you to? What has it been like for you to live out this Jesus thing, which is exactly what we're going to be doing this morning here in just a few minutes. We as a church exist to show and share the love of Jesus Christ. We exist to show and share the love of Jesus wherever we go, where we live, where we learn, where we work, where we play. And we know, at the risk of sounding a little bit arrogant, which it is not, it is with incredible gratitude I say this, that if you hang around Mission Point for any amount of time, you will very quickly figure out we are incredible at showing the love of Jesus. We are so incredible at being the hands and feet of Jesus, showing his love in the most real and meaningful and tangible and practical ways in our world. But we also realize that as a church, we need to and we long to grow in what it looks like to share the love of Jesus with the people in our world. What it looks like to be the voice of Jesus, to talk about Jesus to people in our worlds. What does it look like to share Jesus? Because the reality is nobody's eternity is ultimately changed because of what we did for them. Their eternity is changed because of what Jesus has done for them as they put their faith in him. Because the gospel lets us all know we've messed up badly, but Jesus came into our world and he lived the perfect life on our behalf. We all deserved to be punished and experience the penalty for our sin, but Jesus agreed to go to the cross on our behalf and absorb our punishment and experience our penalty. Jesus then rose from the dead as his way of saying, hey, listen, the perfect life I lived on your behalf and the death I died to pay for your sin has been accepted by God. Now forgiveness and freedom forever and ever is available to you. And those of us who've believed in Jesus have eternal life on account of the fact that we've embraced him in faith. And what we are called to as a church is tell as many people as possible because it is believing in the work of Jesus Christ that will allow them to experience a completely different eternity. And as a church, we just want to get better and better at what that means, what that looks like. But how are people going to hear who Jesus is and what Jesus has done unless we who have Jesus share Jesus with the people in our world? We've been in a study in 1 John, and here's what John says about this in chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. He says, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. Praise God. And this life is in his Son, Jesus. Whoever has Jesus has life. Whoever does not have Jesus, the Son of God, does not have life. And we who have Jesus want to see an awakening in our county and in our world of people who are coming alive and coming to faith and enjoying eternal life in the person of Jesus Christ. And we realize that happens as we share him and they put their faith in him. So we challenged all of us as the year started to commit to praying for an opportunity to share Jesus with one person this year. One person this year. And then we let our imagination run wild. What might happen if each of us reached one person this year? First of all, I suspect that if each of us committed to sharing Jesus with one person this year, we might just get carried away and keep doing it. But at a minimum, we wanted to commit to sharing Jesus with one person over the year. So today, I'm thrilled to lean back into that conversation. I'm thrilled for all of us to think about, if you were around for the start of the year, how's it going? How are you doing? Do you have a person? Have you had an opportunity to share Jesus with that person and give them what they need for their eternity to be completely different? And so, again, we're going to lean into this conversation, and we're going to do that by putting a few of your fellow Mission Point family on the spot and asking them how it's going and how we can do this a little bit better. So I'm going to be joined up here by four individuals. You guys can come on up here, and while you're coming up, you're going to feel the love from our people because they're going to be cheering for you. And then the applause will die down for a little bit, but then they're going to bring it back up. It's going to be a whole thing. See, that's where it dies down, but watch, Eric, it's going to lift again. It's amazing. I'm going to introduce you to these folks here in a few moments, and then they're going to share a little bit about their own experience, their own journey, and, man, what it's been like and what the struggle is like. And I just want to say one of the things I love about the group up here is for the most part, everyone sitting up here will probably need an introduction, right? Because they're not the upfront people that you might be used to seeing on a regular basis. And I love that. I also love the fact that no one is sitting up here because they believe like, oh, we figured out the sharing Jesus thing and we're experts and we came just to tell the rest of you how to do it. It is just all of us trying to figure it out, trying to wrestle forward in what it looks like to share Jesus a little bit more intentionally in our world. I also love the fact that the four people sitting up here are totally civilian Christians. Like, none of them are professional Christians. None of them get paid to talk about Jesus. In other words, they're not full-time vocational ministry individuals. These are people who, in many ways, represent so many of us sitting out here today. And I'm so thankful for each of them. So I'm going to introduce them briefly to you. They can tell you a little bit more about themselves here in a moment. To my immediate left, this is Eric Bowen. And it's Eric with a K. If you're trying to friend him on Facebook, don't use a C. We don't know who that person is. Eric can tell you a little bit more about himself. His wife is a professional Christian. Sarah, who works here at Mission Point, I will say Eric is a big Dallas Mavericks fan, and they got spanked in the finals. I just feel like pray for him is really what I'm saying about that. Someone said go Celtic. I'm sorry, man. There's a lot of green out here. But Courtney Biddle, I got to know Courtney when she was a student at Grace. And man, she reached out to us one time and I want to get baptized. I'm like, but we don't have a baptism service. Like, I don't care. That's not going to stop me. Let's go to the lake. And so I got to meet her family as we baptized Courtney at the lake. And she'll tell you maybe a little bit more about herself here in a little bit. Jamie Kozer, hang on a second. Can you guys say hi, Eric? Hi. Okay, hi, Courtney. Okay, great. And then Jamie Kozer. Jamie was a professional Christian, and apparently it wasn't for her. So she's She is living her best life right now. Man, I will always be indebted to Jamie for being our first mission coordinator at Mission Point. And so much of what we get to experience, Jamie helped lay the foundation for that. So really thankful for you. Hi, Jamie. It's spelt just like you would think. And then at the end there is Lance Wild. And I think the Lord came to him one day and he said to him, like, so of all of the superhero sounding cool names in the world, which one would you like? And he gave him his pick and he said, Wild. Lance Wild. And so that's his real name. Hi, Lance. Man, thank you guys for being here. In fact, Lance, I'm going to start with you, and then we can maybe move this way. Three questions that you're going to have to remember because you have to answer them all. Where were you born? Who lives in your home? And if somebody asks you the question, what do you do? How do you answer that? Where were you born? Who lives in your home? And what do you do?
All right. I was born in Dearborn, Michigan. Go Detroit Lions. Wow. Lifetime Lions fan.
All the Colts people are like, nope.
I mean, you can't hate a Lions fan. I'm just saying. What was the second question again? Tee it up. We start talking about Lions. And I live over in Rochester, Indiana with my wife, Sarah, and my two boys, Maverick and Lennox. And our slobbery English bulldog, Buck. And what I do, I'm a director of sales for South Central United States for a furniture manufacturer. That's it.
Hi. I am from Warsaw, Indiana. Well, Winona Lake. And for those of you who live in Winona, you know the difference between Winona and Warsaw. But I live in Warsaw, and it's great now. So I live with my husband, Gabe, and my four children, Nash, Kessid, Journey, and Jovi, and our mini golden doodle, Archie. And I am a stay-at-home mom, and I am currently in grad school to become a family nurse practitioner.
I am from Bluffton, Indiana, and I live with my husband, Zach, and our one-year-old mini Bernie Doodle, Coda, and I am a first-grade teacher at Mentone Elementary School.
I am from Kokomo, Indiana. I currently live in Leesburg, Indiana, with my wife, Sarah, and our 18-month-old, Emery. I am an assistant men's basketball coach at Goshen College, and is that it? That's what I do.
Curious about you guys' spiritual journeys. How long have you known, walked with Jesus? And the other question is, if you were put on the spot, do you think you could share your Jesus story like in 60 seconds? So those are two questions. A 60-second clock will not start until you've answered the first part. How long have you known Jesus? And do you think you could? Like, I think I can consolidate my story of salvation to 60 seconds.
So I would say I've known Jesus, accepted him about 15 years ago. I was born and raised in a Christian home. 60 seconds will be really quick for me because honestly, it's nothing too crazy. Was blessed with two parents that were believers. I was in the church early, went to Awana, youth group, all that stuff. Funny enough, went to a youth group though, going back to that 15-year mark. One of my friends in high school invited me to his youth group every week, started going, and that's actually officially where I accepted Christ into my life. A church that I never attended on Sunday, but through that youth group, they taught me things. I was able to learn more about the Lord, see it from a different perspective as well, be around a new group of people, and that energized me. And then it's just had this ups and downs from there, but I'll probably later get to where Mission Point comes into the whole equation. But that's how I got to know Jesus, and the under 60?
I'm telling you, man, help people know. Like, time is different when you're up here. I'm just saying, pray for me. Courtney.
I also grew up in a Christian household, but when I was young, all three of my sisters were in travel ball, softball, and basketball, so the Sunday tournament situation that really took time away from our church on Sunday, and it wasn't till in my junior year of high school that I went to a Campus Life event, and I was like, okay, I really want to start following Jesus for myself, and that led me to Grace, because that's the one thing I wanted out of college. I was like, I want to go to a Christian college. So moved up here. Grace was a great experience, just a learning experience for me to really make my faith my own and grow in it, and then I came to Mission Point. And then during COVID, things slowed down, which allowed me to really just grow my faith, and I was baptized during COVID in Winona Lake, which was really cool. And that's kind of my story. Now we're here.
I too was born and raised by Christian born to and raised by Christian parents. Went to church regularly and had my parents say I had a pretty great understanding at a very young age of three of my sin and my need for Jesus to save me. And I was baptized when I was five and was able to attend a Christian school and continue to be discipled by my parents and where we went to church and grew in my love for the Lord and my commitment to Him. Definitely have had low seasons and seasons far from the Lord where I wandered and chose my own path. But yeah, the Lord has always been really faithful to me. And studying His word regularly as an adult woman has been one of the greatest joys of my life. Not anything I ever aspired to when I was young, but that has become more and more important to me as I've gotten older. Because God and His word never changes. And life can go up and down, and people get sick, or marriage is hard, or whatever. But He remains the same. And so I'm still on that journey. And yeah, my relationship with Christ is one of the most important things to me, if not the most important thing. So,
I mean, that'll preach. Time frame, I'd say I've been walking with the Lord maybe 20 years. I knew a lot about the Lord, a lot about Christianity and religion, but I don't think I really encountered the wholeness of who God is until in college. I worked at a summer camp, and the fullness and the love, not just the angry God and the legalistic, follow the rules and do the right thing. That's not who God is. And I finally felt like I really comprehended like His love for me and that He wants a relationship. And there's a lot more to that, but yeah, got to know Him really in college. And then since then, just been on that journey.
Lance, while you have the mic, let me ask you this. We talk a lot about showing, and we talk a lot about sharing the love of Jesus. And I'm telling you, like, it is such a fun thing to say. It's maybe even a cool-sounding thing to say. But the distance between saying something like that and starting to figure out how do you share the love of Jesus? Like, if we're really called to do this, like, what does that... So I want to start with that. Like, when you hear that idea of sharing the love of Jesus, especially in light of what you just said, the difference between this very vindictive, angry, legalistic God and a God who loves, when you hear the idea of sharing the love of Jesus, and I'd be curious to maybe hear from a couple of you on this, what comes to your mind? Because I think we're learning, like, share the love of Jesus, and a bunch of people sitting out here are going to hear that differently. Curious to know what you hear when you hear sharing the love of Jesus.
I mean, I think like in a professional context, for me, it's a lot of listening. I mean, I have the opportunity to, you know, have dinner with folks or lunches or whatever. And when people understand my ethic and they understand the God that I serve and they get like, oh, you're a Christian, I feel like sometimes people come at me with like shock factor statements to try to like depth sound and, you know, where I'm at. And so when you say share, a lot of times for me, it's just like taking in like hurt or taking in and listening to someone's story and then being able to turn that back and talk about like what God's done in my life. And so that's kind of what I was thinking about when you said, you know, show, share. And then another thing is that I thought about before this was, and this is a freebie, I don't own the rights to this, so, but I will share it. For those of you that have the opportunity to gather with people in a professional context, and a lot of times I'm the one that's paying for that event, so you get the opportunity to speak. I always lead my dinners or lunches, and I just say something simple like, hey, an old man once told me, if you're gonna pay for dinner, you gotta pray for dinner. So do you mind if I pray? And it's really interesting the response that you get, because most of the time it's like, yeah, we'd actually really like that. And it's like, all right, let me pray for you. And then there's your opportunity right there with your personal relationship with the Lord to just talk to God in front of someone who might hate that God, you know? But anyway.
Any of you want to speak to that? When you hear sharing Jesus or sharing the love of Jesus, what comes to mind?
I'll go. So I've been able to be in some contexts where hard stories are shared with me. I worked at Heartline Pregnancy Center, and I was a home health care nurse for a while. And people here in Kosciuszko County there are a lot of really hurting and broken people. And so, you know, I'm in this seat often of hearing, like Lance is talking about, just listening. And my question, usually when people are, you know, wrapping up what's going on, is to ask, how do you have hope? What do you put your hope in? And a lot of times the answer is really sad. It's like, I don't know. I don't have hope. And I find that that is often just a really simple, clear segue to share about what our hope can be in, that it should be in Jesus. Because like I said earlier, we all know that all of those things in life go up and down. We all experience hard and desperate times. But he remains the same, and our hope can be in him and in eternity with him and forgiveness from him. And that often is just an easy, simple segue that I try to use to share the gospel. So.
Courtney, I'm going to maybe actually put the two of you who work in the world of education, higher ed and otherwise, but you obviously are in a context where you cannot necessarily just get up and say, hey, so lesson today is Jesus and what he's done for all of you. But that doesn't change the fact that you are very intentional. I've heard some stories recently, even about some of the ways that you are carrying Jesus into your unique space. But what is it like for you? I mean, when you think about being a Christian, being on mission in the school world?
It's a lot of showing. And I think every day when I walk in the door, I'm like, okay, how am I going to show kids to these kids? So show Jesus to these kids, even though I can't just openly talk about him. And a lot of times that's a lot of patience and love. but I just think I always remind myself at the beginning of my day, how can I show these kids and model for these kids what it's like to follow Jesus, even though I can't openly talk to them about it, but just caring for them and being a listening ear and having patience with them and just working with them through certain things and certain struggles, just making sure that I'm there for them. So doing the things that I believe Jesus would do if he was there with me, you know, if he was there, but just showing them the love that he has.
When I think of that question, the word that honestly I think of is simplicity. I know the Bible can obviously be very complex, and part of your job is to break that down every Sunday for us, and Pastor Poorman and Jeff and Drew Flam, all those people. But I think as well, there's also a lot of things in the Bible that are very simple and black and white and laid out. And it's going to sound very elementary, and so I hang out with 18 to 22-year-old guys for my job a lot of times, but I think it's as simple as manners, please and thank you, holding doors, and listening. I think especially those out there with young kids, I can say listening is a skill for sure. It's not something that we all naturally have, but the better that we are at it, I think the more we're going to help the people in our lives. Also, when we... probably all of us in our profession at some point, you probably have something that frustrates you, I have to imagine. If you found that perfect job that you have no frustrations, maybe let me know, or let the person next to you at least know what that is. Maybe they can try it out. But I think those simple things that I'm talking about can be some of the first things to go. So when you get frustrated, and in my instance, I'll just give you a little insight. We didn't win very many games this past year, or honestly, since I've been at Goshen. So there's been a lot of frustrating times. You have players with, whether it's playing time issues, whether it's other issues, they're coming very aggressively, or maybe not to me. I mean, being an assistant coach, I'm not getting the full blow of that stuff, but I still get the domino effect. And I think just making sure that no matter what our record was, or if we just got beat by 30 or one on a buzzer beater, whatever it may have been, that I'm consistent in those things for them, and showing them that, yes, this is a hard time for us right now, whether it's as a team, as an individual, but staying consistent in those little things can go a long way for whoever you interact with in that day or during that hard time.
Man, that's really encouraging to hear from you all. It's amazing how much the theme of being postured to listen, to realize that, man, there's a lot of hurt, there are a lot of questions, there's a lot of hopelessness, and what does it look like for us to more intentionally listen? And that's beautiful. I wish we could just camp on that for a little bit, you know, because when I think about sharing the love of Jesus, it's like, okay, so what's my strategy? I'm going to go to work and I'm just going to start talking. Or I'm going to go into this, you know, other space and I'm going to just start talking. And it struck me when you were all sharing that I love how little we know about Jesus for the first 30 years of his life. What is he doing, right? Like, learning humanity and walking in humanity before he started preaching anything. It's like, wait, 30 years? Did you not preach a Sermon on the Mount? Like, so again, I'm not saying go 30 years without sharing Jesus. That's not what we're saying. But I do love the incredible idea of being better at listening. And if we are, that when people's hurt and hopelessness will present itself, and we will have maybe an opportunity to speak into that or to pray into that. Curious for you all, you can answer either of these questions, whether there is a trick, a strategy. I love the, if I'm paying, I'm praying. That seems like a bit of an intentional strategy. You know, some folks out here will do something like, if I'm at a restaurant and, hey, we tell the server, we're about to pray. Is there anything we can pray about on your behalf? And 98.53% of the time, according to research I just made up, the server will say, sure. And it's amazing how many, when there's an intentional thought about, I know we just had a hard loss and the players are going to come in and they're going to have this posture.
I'm ready for this. You know, you walk into the door and there's already an intentionality in your posture. But I'm curious if there is anything you want to add to, man, this is a strategy that I think about when I think about sharing Jesus. And here's the other part of the question is, is there for you a recent example of an opportunity that you felt like, man, it presented itself and I was able to speak into it. I was able to pray for that meal. I was able to answer a question. Any specific illustrations, and do you typically have a plan? So speak to either of those.
For me, the tricks and tips, honestly, I don't have a good answer for you on that one. So I'll just go to the situation. So this past spring, a player that played for us 2 years ago, he actually, around 2 years ago, got diagnosed with cancer. Left the team, obviously, it was needed to focus on his health. He had to travel to get some treatment from people. Fast forward this past spring, 2 years later, unfortunately, and he passed away. So obviously a lot of our players were teammates with him. We knew him, we coached him. The head coach and I were both assistants at that time. Now that assistant is the head coach, but we knew that was going to be obviously heavy on our hearts, but much more on the peers and the teammates, and really all the athletes at Goshen in general. And then less than a month later of that, we had a guy currently on our team whose brother unexpectedly passed away. And no matter if our win-loss record got flipped, that stuff hits just as hard. And you quickly realize, if you didn't already have an understanding, that there's way, way more to this life than, in my instance, a basketball going in the hoop or trying to stop the other team from going in the hoop. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you there was really profound words that I said to these guys, but just being able to explain to them the knowledge that I do, it's not a lot, but I'm trying to get better at it, but the knowledge that I do have, to that there's more. The question of what happens after death and all of those things. And we don't have a team full of believers. It's kind of a mixed bag. So just to be able to sit with them, and going back to what you said, listening was really the main thing that I did. And I didn't feel like my voice needed to be heard a lot, but just to be able to hear their thoughts and give them an understanding and, just maybe spark in their mind another question to ask. And maybe when we start the school year back this August, a conversation that we had in the spring, you come back and bounce back, hey coach, we talked about this. What do you mean by that? And who knows where those conversations can lead, because you never know. It can be, like I said, simplicity. I think the smallest thing can spark. And our goal, we all have the same goal. It's to get them to know Jesus and to know what eternity is, and that you have a choice to make, and you can make that choice right now, whenever. And I just want to be not even part of that journey, but if I'm going to be there, I'd love to be, and if I can help you take that next step, then let's do it.
Amen. I'm going to let the rest of you speak to that, but I just want to pause and say, Eric, in light of what you just shared, that we all have the same goal, which is to see people come to know Jesus. I pray that that is true. I pray that that is actually true for all of us, that when I'm interacting with people, their eternity is forefront for me. It's because there's so many other things, my promotion, you know, my stats, my likes, my follows, you know, my retirement, all of those things. I pray that what you said would be prophetic over this church family, that it would be true that the eternity of the people we interact with is we want to see them come to know Jesus. Because I do think something changes drastically Courtney, when I walk into my classroom and that's my posture, like that's my priority, I'll be positioned differently versus if it's somewhere far in the recesses of my mind. I love what you just said, and I pray that the Spirit of God would cause that to be true in all of us when we step out tomorrow. Like, your eternity, all of a sudden, if it never was, has become my priority, whether it's at home or wherever it is that we go. But, man, I'm sorry. So, strategy, if you guys have any, or maybe a recent encounter or example.
I mean, this isn't like a crazy strategy per se, but every morning, like when I get up, when I'm on the road, because I travel a fair amount, I just try to get up and set my mind right and just ask the Lord to guide me in that day. I mean, I know that, you know, that's, it's pretty simple, but searching the scripture for opportunity and just, all right, God, like, you know, you ordered my steps, so I'm going to walk it and whatever you lead me to. And then in that listening, I don't know if any of you have the uncanny ability when you're sitting across from someone you've never met before and they just unload like all of their life, like dirt on you. And then you have to figure out like how to work through that. I find myself in those spots a decent amount. And so just praying for the wisdom to be able to respond. So recently, I can think of two stories in particular. One, walk into an office when I was on the road, and one of the reps that I was working with just was kind of visibly shook a little bit. And I walk in, and she just kind of shows her hand to me, and I'm like, oh, what's going on, you know? And she's like, I got divorced. And I was like, okay, you know, like, what? I don't know what to do with that. But then, like, just being there in that moment to say, how are you doing? You know, like, how, what's, you know, like, what are you feeling right now? How are your kids? You know, and then the opportunities that drum up from there to respond. The second one is, again, when you posture yourself and you're looking for opportunities and you're asking questions and you're listening, you're just receiving. There is another opportunity I had where to celebrate someone who has chosen a very different lifestyle than I, and celebrating them in the choice of partnership, right? And that was a challenging position for me because I'm like, here's an individual that doesn't know Christ, doesn't, I mean, really maybe is offended by a lot of that because of some life experience. So how can I show Christ to this person who has chosen some different life choices than me? And again, in the same way that I'm trying to like deal is just like, all right, Lord, like, how do you want me to step this out? Because this one threw me off, you know? And then just being able to receive, to ask questions, to understand, and then give the opportunity for a turn into gospel freedom conversation and things like that. So maybe not a strategy, but listen to respond, you know? Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to piggyback off that one. I think I don't have a specific strategy other than just like listening. And I say that and then I kind of laugh at myself because I feel like I kept hearing the same thing and then kept putting it off because I was scared to do that. But one of the things that I love about this church is that we really help schools and we interact with students. And for a long time, probably too long, I felt this need at my school building. We're really just 15 minutes from where we meet for church. And I feel like I work there and then I go to school here, and I kept noticing that we don't have the support that I felt like we were needing, and we didn't have people pouring into us. And I was just like, there is so much need here, and I feel like we weren't getting any help. And so I just think God was telling me, like, Courtney, you need to do something about this. You can do little things that can really help improve our school community. And one day I was here, and after hearing that for probably way too long, it was a day that we were talking about Agatas. And I thought, oh my gosh, I love sports. I don't know anything about soccer, which was not helpful in what I eventually did. But I thought that would be pretty simple. Like, sports are easy. I get that. Like, I can help with that. And so I thought, let's try this. And so I reached out, and I was able to
connect with Ryan and Nina, and I was like, hey, I really feel like I really need to help my school, and I don't know how, because obviously it's a school. It's hard to get Jesus into the community, and in that way, I was like, this would be a really awesome way to share Jesus with a lot of students, a lot of families. I couldn't believe how many families also eventually did show up, but they were like, oh, yeah, we'll totally help you set up a camp, and we set it up, and I thought maybe we'd have 20 to 40 kids show up. It's our community's not like Warsaw. It's pretty spread out. And a couple weeks later, I got a call from Ryan, and he says, hey, Courtney, we've got 100 kids signed up right now. And so I had to call all the volunteers and say, hey, you're going to have to bring some more food. But it ended up being awesome. And the parents, the kids, they all were so appreciative of it, and they loved it because they had never had... Parents said, we always have to drive our kids in somewhere else to go have these opportunities. And it was just something that, for me, it was like, this is what I was supposed to do. Like, all of it, like, seeing the kids and knowing that they were hearing about Jesus and they had a safe place to go for a couple nights. And it was just a really awesome experience. So just listening and doing it when you know you should do it. And don't let fear hold you back from doing that. So...
Okay, I'll go. So as a stay-at-home mom, I stay at home a lot. It's part of my part. It's in the title, stay at home. Either that or I'm just like carting kids places. Many of you can understand. And then my school program is all online, so still at home. So the places I frequent the most are like parks and the grocery store. And I have made it one of my life's goals as a mother to try to go to the grocery store by myself. No children allowed. So sometimes that means I go really late at night. Most of the time it means my husband Gabe is holding down the fort at home alone. And that was the case with this trip to the grocery store. And I was walking out with my groceries, and there's an elderly gentleman struggling to get inside from his car, struggling to walk. He's frantically looking for the power wheelchair. I'm not calling it the right thing, but that they have in the lobbies of grocery stores. And he couldn't find it, and it wasn't available, and he was panicking. So I tried to find a store associate to help us find the wheelchair. It was out of commission. So he was very discouraged and very frustrated, as I would be. And he asked if he could hold my cart, and I would help him get back to his car safely. So we... walked slowly from the lobby of the store to his car, and he was very chatty and telling me how important it is for people his age to have accommodations like this, and I agreed. And we just got to talking about his life and some of the struggles he has with his health particularly. And he was just really discouraged about life. He told me about his sons. Neither one of them lived close. And he lives alone. And so the groceries in my cart, it was like 6 o'clock at night. My kids were waiting on this food in my cart to be magically created into dinner. And I'm standing here listening to this man talk, and I could just tell, like, he's really lonely, and I don't know if he's talked to anybody else today. And so I'm just gonna take a deep breath and remember that my kids are not starving, and my husband is home with them, and he can throw veggie straws at them until I get home and make dinner. And so once I was able to tell myself he would be great, and they would be great, and focus on this man and his loneliness and his discouragement, I was able to listen. And when I listened, his eyes were really engaged, and he talked even more, and I got to find out more about his life. And I asked the question, what do you put your hope in? He's talking about the end of his life, how he doesn't know if he's going to live much longer. What's going to happen after you die? Do you know? And he said he didn't know. And so I was able to share the gospel with him in the Aldi parking lot with a cart full of groceries. And after talking and sharing, and by the way, he didn't accept Christ. He wasn't ready to do that. And that's okay. I did what I was supposed to do, and the Holy Spirit can do the rest. And we exchanged numbers, and I found out, has been attending a church across town, and I know some people there, so I called them, and I said, hey, I ran into this guy. Can you call him? Can you pick him up for church? He wants to come back. And it was just a really cool full circle experience, and a really good reminder that even somebody who stays home most of the time and is ministering to children, God has opportunities for me, not only at home, but in my little grocery store runs and times at the park. And I have to be willing to open my eyes to see them.
Woo. I wish we could talk forever and ever. I have so many more questions to press in on. I love the reminder that there is nothing special about the people who stand up on the stage at Mission Point and preach. Nothing, because man, a sermon was preached here. Like, and we did not rehearse this, so it was not like, hey, you take this point and you take this point. It's like, oh, no, let's talk about simplicity. Oh, no, let's talk about posture. Oh, no, let's talk about sensitivity when the Spirit is stirring something and is stirring something, like, do it. Let's talk about, you know, what it looks like to be in a position to listen and to pay attention. And what does it look like in Jamie's story to be present? Like me, I'm all rushed. I got to go to the next thing. To be present, to be listening in a posture that says, I want to see your eternity change forever. And how can I make this simple? And how can I ask for wisdom, God? Give me wisdom as I pay attention. And it's beautiful to hear in our non-choreographed conversation what the Spirit may be saying to the rest of us. Man, I'm going to take a moment to pray. I'm going to ask you to do something maybe a little strange as the team makes their way up here or from the trees. I'm not sure where they are. Okay, they are. Just, man, if you would hold out your hands in a cup-like fashion, and it's going to feel awkward to some of you, like, what are we doing? What does this even mean? I'm going to just say a prayer over all of us in that regard. And here's what, to me, this would represent. It would represent one of two things. I'm either asking, God, I don't have a person, I don't have the one that I feel called to share with, or maybe to be more present with, or maybe to listen to, or maybe to share what I know I've been called to share. And so I'm asking you, give me in my hands, would you please reveal who that one is? And maybe for some of you, it's like, I have the one. God, I'm lifting this person up to you and just asking you, give me an opportunity. Or as Jamie was saying, or open their eyes to see you. Would you bring them to a knowledge of Jesus Christ? So this is a posture of saying, God, I'm making this person available to you. And if I don't know who the person is, I'm asking you to make this person known to me. And I trust the Lord will answer this prayer, as awkward as you might feel in this posture. So if you're willing to do that, why don't we stand together? Let's hold out our hands and ask the Lord to fill for us. So Father, thank you so much for inviting us to play a part in offering an entirely different eternity to the people in our worlds, where we live, where we learn, where we work, where we play, and apparently where we shop.
So Lord, I pray for each one of us that if we don't have a person that you've put on our hearts, place that person even now. And Lord, for those of us who you might have burdened to share, I pray that you would give us more opportunities to share. And we pray that you would open eyes and soften hearts so that Jesus might become known to these folks. And Lord, for all of us, I pray that we would prioritize the eternity of the people in our world. Help us to not live rushed or self-absorbed or distracted or in fear, but to live on mission. So we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for tuning into today's message. We hope to see you next Sunday. We would love to personally invite you to one of our services at 9 and 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center in Warsaw Community High School at One Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe, review, and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.